Hey everyone, I turned the tables on office hours and I took a free coaching session with my mentor, world business consultant, Blaine Bartlett. And we talked about time and how it's intertwined in everything we do for productivity, accessibility, and most importantly, gratitude. And I am most grateful for having Blaine as my mentor. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook.
Hey, my dear friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great today. It has been an awesome day.
Hasn't it? I feel the exact same way. So active. I can't believe it's Thursday already. And it just seems like yesterday you and I were both conversing again on this amazing show.
Impressive.
Yeah, very good. You look a little dressed up today. Do you have something special going on?
Oh, yeah. I was interviews all day today. There's some really good stuff. My Solo Business Podcast had a couple of outrageous interviews that are going to be going live in January.
Wow.
Some good stuff. So, and then I was interviewed on a couple of shows too. So
it's amazing how much they pack them in, huh?
Oh boy. Yep.
Speaking of which, you have transcended time in creating a podcast, and there's so many young people out there that are starting podcasts. And, I always wonder, it's great to start a podcast early and learn the content that in your frequency that may be interesting. But I wish more people like you that have years and years and wealth and wealth. I was on today with the founder of Smarter Image Richard Tallheimer. And I was sitting there going, God, I wish my podcast was like Joe Rogan for 2 hours, because I didn't want to leave because of the situational knowledge. Where do you see, these young people that have, great technical skill, but yet they don't know what they don't know? And it's, I think, a responsibility of people like you and I to empower them with the dummy tax that we played, but it's not all necessarily applicable to what they're doing. Where do you see that balance between the naivety of inexperience and the expertise of technology? And we're all kind of colliding together in the future.
That's an interesting question. My answer is going to be steeped in, this is kind of speaking from age and where wisdom starts to be actually, I think, more relevant to me than knowledge is. Because I've got a lot of knowledge, and I don't say that with anything other than I've been around a long time.
Yeah, right.
Wisdom is activated in conversation, and conversation is kind of like what you and I do. I mean, we have this kind of exploration, conversation with versation, with versation. So it's an exploration, a dialogue, kind of moving around ideas. And all too often I find, folks, particularly the demographic you were speaking about, they're wanting to tell me something. Here's what I know. Well, okay. I mean, I appreciate that. And there's an and with this. Where is this useful? Not just from a commercial perspective, but how does this inform who you are as a human being? How does this inform how we actually connect more effectively? And that, the vulnerability in those questions, and partly I think it's in questions. Questions open up worlds. I think that's the real power of a question, is it opens up an alternative world to explore if it's a really good question. And that's where we want to play.
And knowing what questions to ask comes through experience, age, mm-hmm. wisdom, et cetera. One of the things that I find really difficult, because I don't want to hinder a lot of the younger people that I inspire, because I don't know what I don't know. For example, I have clients of mine that are making literally millions of dollars with videos, right? Some are dancing bear videos and the money right now is ridiculous. And it is like a very small percentage that on the other side is, I think, misinforming and misleading some of the other people that we still need doctors and lawyers and trained engineers and people that can create things and co-create things and collaborate on things. Yeah. And I'm like I said, I'm stuck in this position where I don't want to, you know, stop someone when they're trying to, you know, give a merch deal, you know, and there's Shopify, you know, and it's like, how do I communicate effectively? Keep your options open that, look, this is something statistically that, you know, it's like, I was talking to Tolomer and he talked about a 24-year-old that just sold for $3 billion his app. Do you know how many millions of apps there are? It's like me saying, Joe Rogan, you know, I have one of the top podcasts in the world. And my podcast is not worth nearly what Joe Rogan's podcast is worth, $100 million. But yeah. I'm old enough to know that. So I'm not building my podcast thinking that it's worth $100 million. I'm building it to do and to execute on the business model that I have. I have a fear that, you know, we're setting up false expectations because of a few winners, which has always occurred in movies and TV and sports. How can we motivate or inspire or transition that engineering of the vision that, look, it's not as easy as it looks. It's not just your TikTok video goes viral. And then even if you are successful, be careful of the golden handcuffs. Because I know, you know, some of these 16 and 17-year-olds are already burned out on the esports side, on the dancing bear TikTok side, because the minute you stop doing it, you lose such an extraordinary stream of revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where we get the cart in front of the horse. And you know, this whole fixation on money, I mean, I got no problem with money. I love money. I really do.
You and I have that in common.
Yeah. And there's a big and with this. And this is kind of why we do the soul of business. It's too easy to sell my soul. It's too easy to lose connection to what's really, really important in life in pursuit of what we think is important. And money's useful, but money's just energy. It flows. It flows. And, you know, I love the question that you ask around enough. You know, what's enough? You know, there is a point where I don't need more. Now, well, I could use more because as a center of distribution, I want to be able to do things with my money. But there's this, I'm not pursuing it. I'm not pursuing it. It will come. And it comes when I've identified, where do I want to direct that energy? Where do I want to flow it to? And then it just kind of moves. And I've never had a problem with, you know, I don't have an enormous bank. I'm not a billionaire, and that's, you know, I never will be. That's not my aspiration, because I mean, that's an empty goal. It truly is, I think, for the sake of what? You know,
well, for the sake of what? You know, you mentioned another word, and this is so much fun for me because I feel like I'm sitting out back at your place there in Whidbey Island with a little sip of tequila, just spouting what I want to learn. So you mentioned a word that was really interesting, relationship, and it's at the core of the soul of business that, you know, we have a relationship with money. We have a relationship to others, our family members, our professional associates, our mentors, and all of these things. You know, that's why I'm doing my training this Friday on mentorship, and it is a critical relationship for me. But the idea of relativity, that we are connected to everything and everyone, and that certain things are more relative according to our values or our circumstances than other things. And one of the things that is interesting is how that relationship with money is tied to time and experience, right? There's a learning curve to relationships. And we see that you and I have both been married for a while, and our relationship has evolved over time. And some relationships are destroyed over time with things and people. But, you know, marriage to me is that sacred one where I really am conscious about how much better I deal with my most important relationship, my wife. And the next one down beyond my family becomes my relationship to money, because it provides so much and allows me to shop. And and you said your relationship is one that you think, you know, $1 billion is not your end, which you're attaching your emotions to. You know, where can we educate people about the relationship with money? Where are some good places where people can go to learn about that?
Bhagavad Gita. Yeah.
Of course, in miracles.
We start looking at some ancient teachings. I mean, this is not a new conversation in just in the broader sense of the word. But this kind of goes back to your question about wisdom and what happens when people start paying attention to things. Everything is a relationship. And you and I, this is what we wrote that book about, Compassionate Capitalism. Where do people go? Well, get a copy of that book, Compassionate Capitalism. Hang out with David on Friday. Those of you that are watching these shows that are absorbing this information, you're on the right track. I mean, without being cliche with this, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. But you have to be open. You have to be open. I have to be in movement in order to work with some things. And just sitting there sucking air isn't going to do it.
Which leads us back to asking the right questions, because when we ask the right questions, we can determine our relativity, our alignment of our values with somebody else's. There's no way to explore that alignment without asking the right questions about our own values. And some of the simple questions that I teach people is, be more interested than interesting. If you're a neophyte and haven't been into the consultative side of life and relationship, here's some basic questions, and I'd love for you to add some of yours. My number one is, learn what people are doing today, and then learn what they like about it and what they don't like about it. And if we're able to do that, just the series of questions, open and close-ended questions, to determine, hey, what are you about today? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? We're able to increase that flow, that relativity. Are there any other questions that you would add before we bring on our guest?
One that I've been playing with a little bit here has to do with the nature of conflict and friction. And friction only occurs when there's movement. And oftentimes it's in opposition to something else. I mean, when I move forward, I have to move against the floor. And I have to move against it. So there's friction. The only time that you're not going to get friction is when you expand time and space. Time and space is the big constraint. So the question here has to do, and this kind of picks up on, do you love what you're doing? If you had a 1,000-year vision, not a 5-year vision, not a 4-year vision, not a 10-year vision, but if you had a 1,000-year vision, what would you want to fill it with? Because that takes time and space out of the equation. You can't touch the walls in 1,000 years. So this play of the imagination, Carl Jung, the philosopher, without the play of the imagination, nothing of consequence was ever produced. So how do you activate the imagination without constraint? Little kids do that a lot, but you do it through some very interesting, different questions. I mean, people are used to asking questions about vision. Expand this. 1,000-year vision.
And you shared that with me before. And one of the things that I, as I did and studied what you were talking about, was that when we remove the constraints of time, that what appears is faith, that it takes faith. And then we understand how faith is interplayed and blending with what we do. Wow. I'm glad that we had this little session. It just made my day, to be honest. And it's so nice to receive your wisdom and mentorship. I'm going to do a training about mentorship, and inspired by one of my greatest mentors, Blaine Bartlett, learn.blainebartlett.com/LMM gift. You got a gift for everyone. What's that gift again before we bring our guest on?
That gift is 2 months worth of leadership development practices. It's part of my leadership mindset program, and it's free. Just grab it and run with it. And, it will take you 2 months to work through this thing. And it's intended to shift your mindset as a leader.
Well, I will tell you this. People ask me all the time, where do I learn my shit? Learn.blainebartlett.com. That's where I learned it. I've been blessed for years to have a mentor like Blaine. And if you want to know where Dave Meltzer learns his shit, that's it. Guy right there next to me. I'm going to try to pick and choose what side he's on. And I did it right. Look at that. Reverse mindset. This guy right here. But has one thumb and I love right there. That guy right there. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.